Wow, the presence of God is here. I almost don't want to speak, but I know that what God's given me is right for us and has been confirmed all the way through the service. It's hard sometimes preparing for a Sunday morning because there's times I'd love to make it easy. I'd love to get up here and just say some really, really easy stuff that doesn't challenge you, doesn't change you, doesn't provoke you to be different. I would love sometimes to do that. But God never gives me words like that. He doesn't. So I'm going to say some stuff today, and it might be uncomfortable. But it is what God's given me. And I just want to pray first of all. Lord, we just thank you that you are almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, that you never change, you're the same yesterday, today and forever. And Lord, we just want to build our lives completely on you and to trust you in every situation, no matter what that is. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, now for the anointing, Lord, on your word, that it will break yoke. Lord, that it will cut like a double-edged sword. Amen. Right. We've got a bit of crackling, but we can live with that. Some of you know I've been away. We've been away a week. And the way the flights fell, we've actually been away 2 weekends. And it's done us good. It's done us good to be away. It's been a very precious time. But you know, while I've been away, I've not been on holiday from God. I've had time to be on my lilo in the shade and talking to God about stuff on a one-to-one, which has been really good. I've been praying for you while I've been on my lilo. Some of your little faces have popped up in my head like they do. But I've been praying for our church. You know, we are part of a wonderful church. It's loving, it's united, we're of one purpose, and we're a good church. And I've been thinking about church, and I've been thinking about my role as a leader. And I've been thinking, one of the days on the lilo, this thought came to me, and it was, one of the greatest gifts as a leader is to teach about and encourage you is to have your life continually transformed. I thought that's one of the greatest gifts that as leaders that we can encourage you that your life is transformed. And we, you know, God's been speaking to us about transformed life, Romans 12 verse 2, for quite a few weeks, and the theme has been about a transformed life. And I thought, Lord, how many times can we talk about this transformed life, that it makes more sense and changes? And the answer was, keep talking about it. So I'm not going to make any excuses today for talking about a transformed life. And some of you, your transformed life, as I've said, and I repeat what I've said the last few weeks, it's the minute you become a Christian that transformation starts. But for most of us, it continues and continues and continues. And then you get these growth spurts. God reminded me that we get growth spurts. So for a while, everything's okay on a bit of a plateau. And then all of a sudden, it's whoosh. And you grow like really, really fast. And God really speaks to you. And your relationship with God is intense in a different way. And I want to encourage you to go for the whoosh. Go for it. Don't settle for anything less. Some of you probably yet haven't started on the transformed life. I want to encourage you. You're not living until you've started it. And I mean that with all my heart and all my soul. You are not living until you've started your transformed life with Christ. It's powerful when it's lived. Lisa shared while I've been away on the Cap Sunday of the people's lives that have been transformed by becoming free of debt and the feelings of failure. Thank you, God, that this place is a place that's interested in people who are struggling. Thank you, God, that we're looking after people, that we have been sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing. Some of you are sat here and you're our Cap fruit. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you don't feel a failure anymore. Thank you, God, that you're managing your money. Thank you, God, that our God of grace has given you a brand new life in Christ. Thank you. And I am passionate about it. Because people out there think the church isn't working. And it is. It is working. Christ died so we can live this life for him now and for eternity, hearing his word in his Holy Spirit. Hearing and doing is what God wants of us. And our values say, live it. Live it. And it was lovely to hear, Jeff, while I've been away, your testimony last week, that you had the opportunity to share how God's touched your body and how he's moving in your life. So, what am I going to speak about? Going to speak today about Matthew 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus spoke these words, build your house on the rock. So it's verse 24 to 27, it's slide one. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine, does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Jesus is speaking here about what happens when you don't build your house on firm foundations. We've sung this morning about our foundations. Our foundations are our believing Christ, that we believe that Jesus came, that we believe that he rose again, and that the Holy Spirit is here now. Jesus there is giving an example of what happens when we don't build on firm foundations. You know, you've only got to put the news on at the moment and you see some of the floods, and you see suddenly when the floods come how everything is just washed away. Trees are washed away, grounds washed away, roads are washed away. But when you have built your house on the rock, the rains come, the floods come, but your house won't fall down because you have built your foundation on the rock. Building is a good profession. Scott's gone out, I know, he does all sorts. But you know, it's hard to come by a good builder. Have you tried to get one? You can't get a good builder for love nor money. It takes a long time to get a good builder, and when you do, they're always busy. One of my relatives was a builder. He built walls, he built foundations. He built whatever was required. And then one day, he built this garden wall. This was in the 60s. It wouldn't happen now. And when it came for payment for this wall, the person wouldn't pay him. There was nothing wrong with it. He just decided he wasn't paying this builder. So guess what the builder did? Knocked it down. You're very clever. You knocked it down. So one day, the person came home from work and the wall was gone. And the builder was happy. Slide two. Have a look at this slide. This is the one with the house, Jed. So there should be a slide with a wonky house. That's it. Can you see that? It's not the best copy. I did try it a few times. Do you know about this house? The wonky house. You'd feel drunk, wouldn't you, if you'd been in there, even if you'd not had a drink? So this house is slipping to the left, And then most of you know it got burnt down, didn't it? So we won't go into that because that's it's under investigation. That's what they always say on the telly, don't they? Can't talk about that because it's under investigation. So I'm going to use those words. It's under investigation. I've got a fascination for buildings and houses and structures. I always have had. I watch Grand Designs. I don't think there's any one of them I've missed in its 24 series. Kevin MacLeod. And I look at Kevin now and think, oh, you're getting on a bit, Kevin. Because I forget what, you know, I still feel the same inside. And if you looked at me through the camera lens of the TV, you go, flipping X, you're getting on a bit. Because 24 series later is quite a while. But I love watching it. And when I watch it, I listen to people's aspirations, oh, what do you want? I want this. You know, and some of them, you just see some very foolish people. They build things that are so massive, and you're saying, how many are those? Three of us. And they've got this huge, huge building. And then you get the people who they've got these massive, massive buildings, and then they come to have the foundations done, and they've got this budget, and they'll say, oh, we've got 100 grand. And then the foundations are being dug, and they say, how much did the foundations cost? And they go, 90. And you go, are you a fool? But I love it because I see all the ingenuity of what's been built. I see the sustainable ideas, and I watch clever people do clever things, and I love it. But I also see some very, very foolish people. But one of the things I've learned watching all these programs is it's very, very important what your foundations are built on. So going back to what Jesus said, a wise man, a person, builds on the rock and not the sand. It is obvious that, but we can so easily build on the wrong things. When a house is built, so much work goes into the foundations so that the walls can be straight and supported. And sometimes it seems like forever that is going to be built. Sometimes you walk past a building site and they're digging and they're digging and the rain comes and they're digging and you're aware they've got footings in and it seems ages before anything gets built. But that's so the structure, once it is built, is strong. What are the foundations that we need to have in place so that we don't build on sand? Eddie touched on this morning. So glad that he did. Our foundations as Christians are our mind and our heart. We've got to let God deal with our heart. Sometimes we think being a Christian and coming to church and being a human being is just about the body. And then sometimes we can go the other way and think, oh, because we're a Christian, everything's about church and not the head. And Eddie reminded us this morning, and God wants to remind us, that it's about our heart and our head. And these two are very essential for our foundations. And we need a change of heart, because that will change how we live. Proverbs 4, verse 23, Jed, slide 3. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Sometimes we need a change in our thoughts. Sometimes we need a change in our minds. But both affect the way that we live. I'm not going to underestimate that. We were reminded of it this morning. And we both, all of us know that scripture, Romans 12, verse 2. Which is about laying your life out before God and finding out what God wants you to do. And that talks about renewing the mind. Do you know the biggest challenge that you'll have is me? I don't mean me. The biggest challenge you'll have is your me. Do you get what I'm saying? So you can put there, the biggest challenge I'm going to have is Sue Moore's. The biggest challenge you're going to have is Beryl. The biggest challenge you're going to have is yourself. Our house, my house, your house, has got to be built with the dependence on the builder. It's got to be. It can't be built on a dependence of self, because you won't build the right foundations on self. You won't build the right walls. You won't build the right windows. You won't build properly. We had a builder. 5 years ago it is now, I can't believe it. 5 years ago, we had this idea of leaving our house. And when we bought our house in 1985, it was the worst house on the street. It was. And during our time living in it, Andy and I made quite a radical decision, which was that most of the time that Jonathan was born and going through school and life, that we would live on one wage and between us we'd look after him. So we both worked part-time, which meant we had one salary to live on. What that meant was whenever anything went wrong with the house, we just had to kind of paper it. We'd have the odd new window, or we'd have things done, we'd paint, we'd decorate. We couldn't do things structurally to the house. We obviously made sure it was watertight, and we did stuff that it looked the best it could. But we couldn't transform our house because we didn't have the money. We were too busy living, and we don't regret that. But there came to a point one day where we looked at what needed doing. The plaster was falling off the walls, and the crunch time was when we were doing our bedroom and we pulled the wallpaper off, and I'm not being funny, everything else fell off at the same time. It was shocking. Nearly back to the brickwork. So much so that we moved into another bedroom. I said, Andy, shut the door. It's true. And we did. And we thought, what are we going to do? Anyway, unfortunately, my mum passed away. But my mum wanted us to spend the money on a house, or our house, or a house. And so what we did when mum's money came through, we talked about leaving our house. Our house is a little house, but we love our house. But I said to Andy, I can't live in it the way it is. And then we found our builder. And what we did was we left our house. We left our house for 10 weeks. 2 suitcases and the dog. We emptied the house of everything in it. All our possessions, all our furniture, everything. It was naked, right? And we moved out. And for 10 weeks, the builder came in and he did everything that needed doing. New water pipes, new electric, new gas pipes, new this, new that, new walls, new everything. And inside it was like a brand new house. And God was good to us and people were good to us. And every 2 weeks we moved with our 2 suitcases and the dog. And during that time we stayed with 5 people and they were very, very kind to us. We now have a lovely home. But it had to be stripped of everything. It had to be stripped of everything before it is as it is now. And sometimes, God has already said this morning, sometimes he will have to tear some walls down. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will have to take a wall down. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will have to break something down in order to rebuild it, for it to be beautiful. You might say to me, I still don't know what a foundation looks like. So I would say to you, how do you spend your money? That's foundational. What profession have you got? What job have you got? That's foundational. How do you spend your time? That's foundational. You see, everything in society says you're successful if you do this. You're successful if you spend that. You're successful if you look this certain way. But God's not interested in that. So your foundations can't be built on those things. So what do your foundations need to be built on? I know I did this the other week, but this was really, really strong when I sought God. This is God's word. And it's breathed. Eddie touched on it this morning. This is God's word. It's the breath of God, this word. It's not just something we read. It's the breath of God. If you don't open it, I would encourage you to open it. It's the breath of God. If I said to you, go in that room there, God's going to go in there and follow you, and he's going to talk to you about his word. That's as important as this is. I'm not being funny. I won't be able to stop you from getting in that room. I would not be able to stop you. This is the breath of God. This is powerful. I want to encourage you to get in it. And that is really important for today. Plan time to read it. Where are you going? What's your purpose? Look at the God-breathed word. Apply it. We've heard that this morning. Apply anything you learn in it to your daily life. Anything that you learn in it, apply it to your daily life. Talk to Father. Build foundation. Pray. Build foundation. Connect with God. Build foundation. Your goal is to have an intimate relationship with Him. Eddie touched on something which God's dealing with me in the same way as what Eddie spoke about this morning. When we ask God to renew our heart and renew our mind, He takes us to a place where He's dealing with us in such a way that the only way I can describe it is your relationship will become so much deeper with God. It's intimate. And that's what God wants for you. He doesn't want an acquaintance, move back forwards, talk occasionally. He wants that conversation. He wants that listening. He wants that heart openness. He wants that mind that's open to God's thoughts because of what you've read in His word, which He will bring back to you. He wants this deep, deep relationship that He always meant for you before the fall. Always meant for you before the fall. And it's hard for me to put it in any other words and go home and seek God about this. But He wants a relationship with you that is just you and Him. Just you and Him. Ask to grow deeper. Desire and action to grow. It means you're serious with God. As soon as you pray that prayer, God knows you're serious and He will help you. Let your goal be to please God. John Andrews' book, 252, Learning to Grow on Purpose, quotes this. And I read it and I thought I really like this phrase. Be life smart. In order to be life smart, you have to be God smart. I like that. In order to be life smart, you have to be God smart. I thought, I'm up for that, God. I want to be God smart. You see, prospering on the inside will prosper you on the outside. Development always shows on the outside. I love it. I love it when I look at people in the church here and I know that they're growing and I can see a growth. I'm not saying this to embarrass someone, but Udi is not the woman who first came to our church. Udi has grown. I can see growth in Udi. It's wonderful to see the growth and the change in her life with God. And there's so many of you around this room, I look at your faces, I can see change, I can see development, I can see growth. You are not the people that first came in here. And even when you've been a Christian a long time, these spurts that every now and again I see and I think, yeah, they're going for it now. They're going for it. Les Bullock, who's not here anymore, we loved Les and loved Les. And I knew Les all my life because I knew him before church. Because Nicolette was in my class at school. I always knew Jean and Les. But there was a time with Les when all of a sudden, been a Christian a long time, became a Christian in this church, there was a point where he really connected with God and he were different. He'd become a Christian, but there was a point where you just knew by listening to him and talking to him that he'd gone deeper with God. And he was the same for a long time, but then all of a sudden, there was this change. Being away for 2 weeks means I've not seen my grandson. So I've only been away a week, but as we came back, they went. And little Freddie, when we went on holiday, he was like this. He He wasn't drunk. He's only one. Right? And he was toddling, but he were like, you were almost wanting to put your hand near him and sort of steady him before he hit the deck. And now he's like this. It's only taken 2 weeks. And as I was preparing this, I was thinking, sometimes, you know, you don't see your own growth. Sometimes you don't see your own growth, but it's going on all the time. And it's lovely to see. Slide 4, please, Jed. This is John 3, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. I want to talk about this and I want to spend a few minutes here. And it's very applicable. Obviously, I didn't know some of this today until I came back. But I do want to talk about this. That scripture, I pray you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your souls prosper. We don't really talk much about this. But God wants us to physically prosper. We don't talk about that much. As well as spiritually prosper. And Christians, one of the things that we're really affected by is when we're ill. As Christians, we are affected as Christians when we are ill. Because we don't expect illness. It's not something that we, in our walk with God, we expect that things will happen. But an expectation with illness is quite often for us to deal with. And what happens is, illness comes. It comes. Illness is part of the fall. Okay? And what I want to say, and it's, we've covered it quite a lot this morning, but I want to encourage you. Illness is very difficult for us to deal with as Christians. When things are spoken over us, it's almost like there's two conflicts. There's a conflict, the hospital are saying one thing, or a doctor, and our God is saying something else. And our physical body is affected by what is wrong with us. And that is quite a big thing for us to manage. It's a big thing to manage news when things aren't working. And it's particularly difficult when it's something that you have probably worked so hard not to have. So let me give you an example. You can be someone who's been healthy, been running like Andy, running, 14, 15, from being 14, 15, and then suddenly, bam, something happens. And you think, how does that happen when someone's looked after their body, when they've ate properly, when they've exercised? Or it might be, you know, that you've ate everything low fat all your life and then suddenly your cholesterol's spot on and they're going, oh, you think we'll put you on some statins. And you turn around and saying, God, this isn't your design and plan. But what I want to say to you here, and I didn't know anything about Viv until I got back, but this has been part of what was put on my heart while I was away. Your house is built on the rock. What that means is that when you get illness or loss or anything that comes up that really would disturb you as a Christian, as a mature Christian, that you are to remind yourself and talk to God and remind yourself that you are built on that rock. And that what is said over you by other people is not the authority on your life. And it's God's authority that is on your life. And it's God who says what and how you deal with things. And you need to know that because the storms come. The storms come. Sometimes our Christianity tells us that we will not. It's almost like we're going to have this life that's going to be fantastic all the way through. But storms come. And God's put this word on my heart because storms come. And you to be reminded this morning that your life is built on the rock. People in the church are getting older. And sometimes we have things we can't control. And that is very frustrating. It's incredibly frustrating. But what I want to say is that our God is in control. Alex, for me, has been a great example of this. Alex Taplin, I've known Alex Taplin many years. He has been a great example to me, how his faith and how he's walked and how he's given his 3 cancers to God and how he continues to give his terminal diagnosis to God and how he now has gone past his date. Jed reminded us this morning that our days are numbered by him, not by what the doctor says to us. Our days are numbered by him. Our God is a healer. I've been healed by God. Beryl's been healed by God, I know. There are the rest of us in this room. In fact, let's do something. Who's been healed by God? Put your hand up. Right, those of you that haven't, keep your hands up, because it's about building faith. Look round at the people who've got their hands up. And next time you're not well, I want you to turn round and talk to God and say, "You're my healer, Lord. You're my healer." It is the confession of our mouth. There's some practical things I just want to finish with. If you need help laying the foundations, speak to a friend. Speak to us as leaders. Speak to Mark. Speak to Lisa. We're always available. You may need a person to build with you. Sometimes even a builder who's brilliant needs a labourer. Yeah? My builder did my house. He didn't do it on his own. He had Derek, the electrician. And they built stuff together. Sometimes you can be overwhelmed by the task. Doing what God wants you to do, to change and build, you can be overwhelmed. That's another reason why you might need to talk to someone else, and I would encourage you to do that. I used to say to people, when we used to have a big task, so I'll tell you what one of the tasks was. Mark knows about this. So one of the tasks I was given, I'm laughing because it's hilarious, but it's not hilarious. It's almost hysterical laughter. I was once given this task of managing this festival. And there were 30,000 people attended this festival over 2 days. So I'd never managed a festival. Can you imagine being asked to do a festival for 30,000 people and you've never managed a festival? Can you imagine that? It wasn't a joke. It was real. So I went home. Lord, how am I going to do this? And then over the next few weeks and coming months, I learned how to manage a festival with 30,000 people. And God was so good. God was so good to me. And during that time, I learned a very good phrase. It's not in the Bible. And it was, how do you eat an elephant? Bite-sized chunks. And any time I used to feel panic about this 30,000 people event, I used to think, how can I eat an elephant? Bite-sized chunks. And I used to say that to myself regularly. Okay. All right, I'm finishing now. I've already said that the foundations take the longest. And the walls and the windows soon go up once the foundations are complete. Our house was built in 1899. It looks nothing now like it did then. Your house built on the rock will continually change. It will grow and look different. Our houses become a home where the living is done. And the last part of the scripture says, on that verse was, and the storm is coming. So I put there, what's the storm? Don't let it fill you with dread, was my first thought. As soon as you hear something like that, storm is coming, you dread. Storm can be the world events. So the 7th of October, the day we went away, we all know what happened at that concert. And it was shocking. Unbelievable almost. That can be a storm. Your storm can be what's called the storms of life, the things that happen in your own family, or it can be the things that are happening to you. The last slide, Jed, John 16, verse 3. I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Storms come with illness and loss that will test the house that's built on the rock. And you'll know then whether your house is built on rock or sand. But I believe as a Christian that if you're talking to God on a regular basis and you're reading his word and you're loving him, that your house is built on the rock. And when the house is built on the rock, you have a hope and a future in Christ with our Father God. So be encouraged. The house built on the rock will be a place of comfort and strength. Be encouraged because your spiritual building will bring future fruit. And I want to say this one final thing, and this is important. The house you're building on the rock is not just for now. It's for the future. The house you're building on the rock takes you from this life into eternity. So don't think that it's something that's temporary. The house you're building on the rock is a permanent building, and it's for the future too. Thank you, everybody. Mm-hmm.